Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
Now, no matter where you are, it works. And the best place to do it is in stores like Stewart's. You don't have to buy stock. They won't let you buy stock. But the place to do that in Stewart's. I don't know the people in Dunkin' Donuts that well, but Stewart's are very friendly. And their slogan is, we're closer to you. We're huggy people. They don't like to hug you, but they're closer to you. It's the only place that's got a quote like that. They build them so that they're closer to you. And it's on their banner. So what I'm saying is this. You have to be so abided up with the word of God that you have a word for somebody in that season that they're in. So if they're going through something, you have a word for them. And you can give it to them. And you can pray over them. And you can hold their hands and you can greet. And they'll stand there and listen. And all you got to do is just have that scripture that's abiding inside you. Just bubbling over. And you go for it. Just like when Chris was standing there, when I was praying for him, there was things in each individual I was praying for that was not in rote. It wasn't routine. It wasn't written down. It was in here because of that abiding word that you give out. It's supposed to help somebody. Amen? Glory to God. Our physical body was designed to heal, isn't it? Amen. So David came up with this one. He called it the hidden word of the heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. One verse of scripture. This is profound. This is David. You know, King David. And he called this is profound. If you read this, most of everything in the Old Testament is black, barring a quote. But here's what he wrote. Thy word, he's talking to God, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee or miss the mark. So in other words, if you've got a word for something, you can stand back with your shoulders thrown back. You can stand strong. It doesn't matter what anyone says about you. All you got to care about is what God says about you. Amen. What God says about you. He says, you're mine. I paid for you. So David got that. He said, wow, thy word. What else would he want hidden in his heart? But it's so profound. When I looked at that, I said, God, it's an abiding word, isn't it? He said, yes. Thy word I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What was he looking for? Something that was going to be deep. Something that he could write about. Something that he could pass on. Something that Solomon could pick up. He was the son of David. Something that he could write the Proverbs about. And you can dissect chapter 4. You can really pick that one apart. But here's what we want to go away with today with these verses of Scripture, even when Jesus starts to talk about it in John chapter 15. You and I want to know. All I did here was compile some notes from this Scripture verses. But what I want from this is I want this to get into here. I want all this that's on paper to get into here so that I know that there's something alive in me, that the fruit of what's alive in me, like the fruit of a woman that's carrying a child, she sees the life in there, but it's not out here. So what's abiding in her, she wants to get out here so that that one can duplicate the one they came from. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're all so excited about that. Glory to Jesus. So David's son, Solomon, writes this one. David wrote the one-liner in Psalm 119, verse 11. He said, thy word, your word, O Lord, I have hid in my heart. So he buried it in there, enough where he could give it to Solomon. Here's what Solomon writes. Solomon says it makes a statement this way. He said, I'm giving full attention to the word. That's what this is all about. You'll find out as we go. He says, I'm giving full attention to the word. So how does he open up in verse 20? Let's go down through this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Here's what this says. Some key words in here I got highlighted. I'll put emphasis on those as we go through here. Is that up there for you? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27, KJV. My son. So David is writing this to Solomon. And he says, my son, give attention or attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them, words, okay? Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them, words, not depart from thine eyes. Keep those words in the midst of your heart. For they, those words, are life unto those that find those words. And it is health to all their flesh. Woo! You know what that told me? The more word I got in me, the quicker I get healed. He sent forth his word to heal them. I take this seriously. You kind of know that? So what he's saying is, I love this. You can see it right through. Okay, so he said, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them. So you've got to be looking for them, and health to all their flesh. And then he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a froward, which means a backward mouth, because froward is not forward. Froward, F-R-O, is not F-O-R. Froward is backwards. Put away from thee a mouth that speaks wrong things. And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What's he saying? Don't look back. There's nothing back there. Don't look back. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established, firm. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. And remove thy foot from evil. Wow. This is David giving instruction to his son, Solomon. Was that just for him? No. Because you know what? That was speaking to me. If we're a child of God, and since we are, I guess we've got to be sons. Right? Jesus was the son and only son of God. We are sons through Jesus. So you look at this and say, wow, God, I want that. And when I read that this morning and finalizing the song, I read it real slow. And it was like he was talking to me, like saying, oh, Pastor Phil, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. In other words, keep reading them. Keep them in the midst of your heart, Pastor Phil, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I have friends that I went to school with, and we've got some oracles at home that we have kept. And one of the oracles was a kid, neighborhood kid in our neighborhood, lived down the street from us. We went to school together in that yearbook. If you were to see him today, this is not a put down. It's just a wrong life. No word. No word. Oh, he had words, but not this word. So side by side, we could stand here looking at us, and you would point out, now, which one is the oldest? You would probably point to the person who looks older. But in my case, I'm the older of the two, and I look the youngest of the two. So I'm saying this, Lord, so this is right. This is proved out. So if his word is health to all my flesh, then what is he doing inside me? Is his word is keeping me healthy. His word is keeping me healthy. I asked for gray hair and I got it. And I didn't ask out loud, I just whispered. I'm looking in the mirror, you know, it's like, oh, you know, because I used to color it. Don't color your hair. because it'll turn gray and you'll lose it. His word is health to all your flesh. So I look at this and said, God, you know what? My wife and I, we eat good. We eat 16 meals a day divided by four. So you know what? The thing is, listen, how could I talk to you about getting the word of God to work for you if it's not working for me? How could that be persuasive? So the best thing you could do is just open up your Word of God, paperback, not electronic, paperback. You can highlight that. You can write in by it. You can't do that on a tablet. You have to do that in pages. You got to get a program where you can edit it. I don't want that. Open up my big, thick, Spirit-filled Life Bible. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. And go through and write in and things like that. I can go back to it. I can put it over here on a page. I said, God, I liked that. Awesome. See, he gets excited when I get excited. So I went through all that. That'd be your homework for like the next 20 years. Proverbs chapter 4. So Brother John picks up on this. You know, it's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what follows John? Hello. What was he saying? Do it. Do it. So John chapter 1 starts out with what Genesis chapter 1 starts with in the beginning. But I looked at this verse of scripture and I extracted verse 14, put it in there, and this is for all of us. And I get excited about that because I start to go over this and say, God, I get to really, really, really bring this out to people because there's no footnotes or anything like that. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was. It was with God, and the Word was God, down to verse 14. So my King James says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Woo! He could bleed and break. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth must mean that the Word of God is full of grace and truth.
And favor.
Glory to God. That's favor. Let me read this to you slow, and you can see it. In the beginning, not before the beginning, in the beginning was the Word. We're talking about the abiding Word. In the beginning was the Word. So everything started out with Word. Like, does this sound familiar? And God said? Did he have to speak something?
Word.
Glory to God, you're getting it. Hallelujah. So in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then the Word was made flesh. So God was saying, I want you to see me physical. And I want you to see the Word working in this physical body. I want you to see that whatever this Word man could do in his body, you can do with your body. And he said, and they, those believers, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they, the believers, shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. I guess we can do that.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to impart the Word to somebody unless you're ashamed of it or ashamed of him. Used to be there. But when you get worded up and you get filled up and you get faithed up and you see somebody who could use that divine touch and then you use it in faith, listen, there have been more souls saved by me speaking the Word of God over them even if I didn't see any fruit yet. Because His Word can't die. His Word is alive. So guess what? If you put that Word in, a Word for them, say, yo, God's going to use you. Yeah, right. They heard it. Faith comes by hearing. They heard it. And if they heard it, didn't like it, it's still Word seed. Oh, glory to Jesus. So what John said was true. The Word was made flesh so that God could show His power in the earth. We beheld His glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verse 7 to 17. I'm going to read through these quickly. This is all red letter. Jesus says, if you abide in me, is that where we are? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now don't be a Steve Urkel kid. Did I do that? Short pants and all? Did I do that? I couldn't have done that. You did do that. And the thing is, here's a law by this word that works, whether you like it or not. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So guess what? Ask for the right thing with the right motive. Herein, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's he saying? In other words, whatever the Word tells you to do, do it. Whatever. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, verse 12. This is a song that Pastor Sherry really got us going on. You know, this is my commandment that you love one another. This is my commandment that you love one another. I wonder if faith and love were working together in any church body, that church body would begin to experience healing and wholeness. You know, nothing missing, nothing broken. You know, aren't you glad that going to church is not like going to the hospital? It's not an emergency or emergency. It's not, but it's a good thing. You can come out fixed with no incisions. Jesus has got the scars. Hey, I really believe this. I really do. I sleep it. I eat it. I talk it. I do it. It's got nothing to do with the clothes that I wear. It's got the Word that I wear. And I look at that. So he said, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Isn't that cool to have that happen in a church body? Woo! You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knows not what his Lord does. I've called you friends. Wow, you know that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? For all things that I have heard my Father, I have made known to you. All things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known to you. You have not chosen me, verse 16, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Woo, I set you apart with an anointing. I set you apart with, that's what ordained means, set apart with an anointing. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let me just read that last part there in verse 16. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Can we do that? These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, Paul wrote in Corinthians the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this is the fruit he was talking about. Fruit. Glory to Jesus. I didn't say you're fruitcakes, and you said fruit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, 17, working our way down to our close. The heard word, are you hearing it today? The heard word causes faith to fill the heart. I didn't say having heard. Heard. Faith cometh by hearing, not having heard. Hearing and hearing and hearing. So this is what Romans chapter 8 and 9 and then verse 17 says. Paul says, so what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That's why sometimes we call ourselves a Word of Faith church. You know, we went to a AAA driving class on Saturday. It was like probably better part of 7 hours. Break a little bit and then go through this whole book. So you can upgrade your insurance and things like that. So, but the deal was, now they didn't ask this question to anybody else. So the guy, this really good lecturer, took us through the book and he looked at me and he said, I don't know why he picked me up, but he came and looked at me. He said, so, what type of church do you go to? I don't know what we call this. I said, full gospel.
What?
Yeah, Word of Faith church. What does that mean? It means that we are gospel-filled people and we preach the Word of God cut dry. He went back to the front of the table, didn't say another word. Page 39. Page 40. Going through. He was very polite, but you know the thing? He called me off guard. I just had to tell him, full gospel. What's that? You know what the gospel is? Enough said. This is the word of faith which we preach. Paul said that. Isn't that cool? Amen. In verse 9 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... And here's the profound thing about that before stepping into the conclusion here. Here's the astounding thing about what the first question is, what do I have to give up? What do you have to give up? He's trying to fix you. You don't have to give up anything to come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Just come. Because he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, say, Jesus, I want you as my Lord. That's your confession. And shalt believe in thy heart that God really did raise him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why did Paul want to make it so simple? Because he didn't want to make it so hard for people to get into works, to be good enough to get saved. It's not based on works. None of it is. So Joel Osteen, at the end of his program, he gives an invitation like that. It's a good one. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ has come into your heart. That's exactly what happens when you gave entry. Because when you say, I believe with my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. So if I did that, he came in and his word took up residence. So now it's called an abiding word. That is so good. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not perfect. My wife has to sew buttons on. They wouldn't come out in the right place if I did. It's not about perfection. It's just about following God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, y'all getting this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's just the Word. Jesus, what'd you hear about today? Oh, the Word. The abiding Word's inside me. I know it's there when it kicks in when it's supposed to. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said the Word is alive and full of power. There's three translations that I picked on this verse of Scripture. One is the King James. The other one is New King James. And the other one is NIV, because they say it differently. So I'm going to read just the differences to you, but they all start out with, for the Word of God, this is KJV, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's not a material thing. The Word of God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Word of God will keep you balanced. KJV says, the New King James says, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the vision of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. NIV says it this way, New International Version, for the Word of God is alive and active. I brought that one in because I want you to know that His Word is working in us 24/7. Hallelujah. That's not just for preachers and people who study to do Bible studies. This is for everybody. And if you get that in you, that Word is an abiding Word, and it's alive and active. It's working. It's churning inside you. Sharper than a two-edged sword. And it penetrates even the dividing of the soul, and spirit, and joints and marrow. It'll get right down to your bloodstream. You know where your blood is made? In your bones. The marrow. Whew. Glory to God. I got good blood. I'm not talking about nationality either. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So guess what? I could have wrong thinking, but right word. I know none of you ever thought wrong. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. The Word is living, saturated with power, affecting the thoughts and intents of the Spirit. So in other words, what God is saying, my Word will work through you and correct all the mistakes you've ever made and prevent you from making it again. So this is a daily devotion by Kenneth Hagin Sr. And it talks about your desires. I'm just going to read to you and then we'll just give you the closing. So this won't be on the screen. The title of it is Your Desires. And this is what caught my attention because it was contiguous with what I was looking at in the Bible. He said, therefore I say unto you, this is from the Gospel of Mark. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's the verse of Scripture that it opens up with, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. The Gospel says that, right?
Yes.
So if you're praying about something and you're believing that you're going to receive them, you shall have them. Whatsoever you desire. So the question to me, for me, is what do I desire? So he says this. No, not what things soever that grandpa desires. Not what things soever that auntie desires. Not what things soever that your husband desires. Not things whatsoever that your wife desires. You can get your desires. However, if your desire is not what someone else desires, you won't be able to push your desires off on them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want what you got. Why? Because when someone else is involved, their will comes into play on the situation. So your faith will always work for you in your life. Your faith will always work for you in your life, and sometimes, now always, your faith, you can make that work for someone else. Woo! If somebody doesn't know how to believe, guess what? You can believe for them. If somebody doesn't know the Bible at all and they don't know what to believe, guess what? You can believe for them. Glory to God, how powerful you are with just having that word inside you and coming down to his confession. He says, my faith, this is what he says every day, my confession, my faith always works for me in my own life. By divine wisdom, I will know when I can make my faith work for others. We have to get to the place, I guess you kind of like, you look at whoever you hang out with, you become like. Y'all can't come to my home and stay there. You can stop by. I don't have enough room. I don't have a hotel. I have a no-tell. No tell to anybody who came to my house. Glory to God. Let's give him praise, church. Let's give him praise.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.